My name's Ron Del Nevo. I'm chair of the Payment Choice Alliance. The Alliance first started in 2014, but was relaunched in 2023 when we appreciated just how serious the position was in relation to the acceptance of cash. Cashless is being imposed on the UK, we feel, and the public don't want that, and that's what we're working very hard to stop happening.
Now, we've just literally in the last couple of weeks had a very sharp reminder of our reliance on the internet with the CrowdStrike outage, which has affected, well, payment systems, television broadcasts, the railways, the stock exchange breaking down. I mean, I think some of us have always been a little bit suspicious about our over-reliance on IT and technology. But can you give us your view? I don't know if you've really looked into it, how much you've looked into it as to what happened. You know, how come? I mean, your organisation has been flagging this up for a long time. But how can something like this go so ridiculously wrong?
Well, the thing is that this was a relatively junior person, as I understand it, in a software company making a change to the Microsoft system. And unfortunately, mistakes happen. I mean, we all know that our apps on our phones are upgraded and changed every single day. You know, we're always in the app store seeing what we have to do. But the issue is that when this is a change that affects most of the Microsoft systems around the world, that is a massive impact. I mean, you mentioned some of the impact. It changed hospital appointments. It stopped people finalizing purchases of houses. It stopped us buying train tickets at machines and so on and so forth. So, you know, the simple thing is you cannot rely on these systems ever 100%. There are experts saying, oh, this will never happen again. Well, that's odd because it actually happened in March and April time when Tesco, Sainsbury's, Waitrose, for example, weren't able to accept cards or digital payments. So this isn't something that's a one-off. It's going to repeat and repeat. And that's why we certainly need cash as a backup to all of that technology stuff.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things that come out of this. I mean, some would say, well, cash is actually subject to the same sort of problems. For example, counterfeiting cash.
Well, there have always been problems with any payment method. People used to steal shells when wampum was a payment method. I mean, of course, online payments are more badly affected than any other because they can do things like steal your identity and make off with the entire contents of your bank accounts. And that's not the same as losing your wallet with 20 quid on it or something like that, or even having it stolen with £20 in it. So, of course, there is always crime associated with every payment method. There's crime associated with jewellery shops, crime associated with chemists, but cash is reliable when it's in your hands. It has finality. Once you've paid for it, the transaction is concluded. And the reason that we've had it for 2,500 years now, it's great for the public in general. And 99% of the public are using it in an honest way, spending their money that they've earned honestly. And that needs to continue.
Now, with this outage, the CrowdStrike outage, we're being told the armed forces, the government actually insist on people using Microsoft because it's so-called accredited. So it's almost as if people have been corralled into using a system which then has completely failed.
Well, I think Microsoft are too powerful, but so are Google, so are Visa, so are MasterCard. All of these companies are giants, and they're American giants. They're out with the control, really, of the British government and the British public. So it is a worry that there's so much reliance on one company. But the truth is, there are only three or four companies around the planet that do things like this, and we need to have more choice in terms of the kind of software providers as well. Choice has been limited in that sphere too, and that's dangerous because it makes it easier for the hackers to cause massive problems, or it makes it easier for one simple mistake to cause problems around the planet as they did a week ago.
Well, the argument is, of course, that organised crime love cash.
Well, some criminals work in cash, but, you know, jewellery shops are broken into, as I said earlier. People take lead from the roofs of churches. People steal perfume from boots, interestingly, not drugs, but perfume from boots. listen, when there's ever a value at stake, there'll be somebody who wants to steal that value. But as I said earlier, the frightening thing is the way they can steal value online digitally is much more pervasive than losing a bit of cash, quite frankly. We just saw some man in America, Sam Bankman-Fried, he went to prison for 25 years for managing to vaporize $32 billion of investments in cryptocurrency. So people thought their money was safe there, but it wasn't. So I think cash normally gives people a sense of security, and it deserves to give them a sense of security because it's been trusted by the public, as I said earlier, for literally 2,000 years plus. So we need cash as a backup. That's not to say we don't need these other systems too, but we shouldn't be relying on one software provider, as you hinted at earlier, and we shouldn't be relying on one payment method because that makes us very, very vulnerable.
Now, I'm old enough to remember when the first ever cash point popped up in my high street.
Yeah.
By bit, things have changed, haven't they? So the old ways of doing things were by cash and check and things like this, signing a check. Then we had these credit cards suddenly appear, check guarantee card, I think they were originally called. Slowly but surely, that migrated into the card where we're just putting in a PIN number and paying like that. Then we've got the contactless payment cards. Bit by bit, this has been changing, but I don't remember the public ever being asked or consulted. This seems to be something the banks have just decided for themselves, and it's all being implemented without the public actually ever being asked.
I think you're absolutely correct there, Tony. You know, a lot of people forget just before the time when you saw that ATM, people were all paid in cash, so they didn't need to go to bank branches. They got their pay usually weekly, maybe on a Thursday after work, and that was them. They lived off that money. Then a law was passed that said wages could be paid into bank accounts, and employers started kind of insisting that that's how the wages would be paid. And that meant for the first time, people had to go to bank branches. Why did they go to bank branches before? It also meant that the banks could start lending out lots of money based on the deposits they now had from those workers. We never asked for their wages to be deposited in bank accounts anyway. And you're absolutely right. That all happened in 1960 and the changes happened over the next few years. And then in 1967, what came out with the first credit card, which was more debt. So the banks were doing more lending and then the credit card came along, which was even more debt for people. And, you know, we've moved from a position in the 1950s, not that we can go backwards, but we've moved from a position where there was almost no personal debt to this position we have today, where so many people are trapped in the mire of debt and they don't know how to get out of it. And as you rightly said, what did the public actually ask for? Did any of these changes get made based on what the public wanted? And this is the same with cash acceptance. We, the Payment Choice Alliance, we surveyed through YouGov and we found that 71% of adults want a law put in place saying that they can use their cash when and where they choose. That equates to about 40 million people. So the public do not want cashless. And that's what we're determined to honour. We want to honour the public's view and make sure this country doesn't have cashless imposed on it.
Well, I am in a little market town today and there are only two cash points left here. Several, there were about five, six when I first started coming here a few years ago.
Yeah.
As the banks are closing their branches in our market towns, so the cash points are also disappearing. The ability to get hold of cash is going.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm living in a town where it's worse. I'm in Leatherhead and we've lost 16 ATMs in the last 2 years and we've only got one left in the town centre. And what's the banks are trying to do, they're trying to say, oh yeah, we'll keep, you know, an ATM or cash access somewhere around, but instead of it being convenient, if you like, on every street corner, you're going to have to find it. And that's, as the marketing people say, a destination purchase. So you actually have to go and find your cash rather than it being convenient for you. And they're hoping if you're standing outside a shop on a rainy day and it's a 200, 300 yard to the nearest ATM or maybe even further, you'll just not bother. You'll say, oh, no, I'll just use my cards or I'll just use Apple Pay. This is a plan that is aimed at making cash less convenient so that the public decide to walk away from it. But as I say, the public don't want that. They've told us definitely they don't want that. So that's something that needs to be addressed too. We need more access to cash now to repair the damage that's been done to small market towns like the one you live in.
Now, I wonder if the government's nudge unit has been employed here, because sometimes when I go into supermarkets, I want to pay in cash, and I find that the automatic checkout, which is the only one which hasn't got a massive great queue, you go and you find that the only cash automatic checkout thing, it's got a sign on it saying out of order.
Well, you know, some countries already have laws to protect against that kind of thing. France, Norway, Spain, Ireland's getting such laws. And basically in France recently, the Bank of France, their central bank, their equivalent of the Bank of England, found that a couple of major superstores were using self-checkout machines without cash being accepted, and they insisted, they enforced the law and told those supermarkets they had to have machines that accepted cash if they didn't have staff tills that accepted cash. So I think, to be honest, they're better off in other countries, and we need to get some of those rights given to the UK public. We're being robbed of our rights, and that needs to be addressed, and that's what we're trying to do.
And there doesn't seem to be enough checks on the contactless payments. I was reading an article recently where there's some sort of electronic device you can hold in your hand that, as you swipe it close to someone's back pocket next to their wallet, you can actually take £100 out of their bank account. So the fact that that a terminal is next to your card, obviously that's fairly normal where you'll be paying for something. But what people don't seem to understand is that the thieves can bring their own fake payment terminal in their hand, very close to your wallet, and just take money from it.
Well, Tony, that's not something I've had a lot of experience of myself in terms of hearing about it. But there is no doubt that there are significant security problems with a lot of the digital payment systems, including contactless, have been introduced. And these all need to be looked at and rectified. But they'll never be 100% rectified, because these systems can't be.
Receipts. I mean, we're not getting receipts for these contactless payments either, are we?
Well, you can get a receipt if you ask for one. They have to give you a receipt if you ask for one. They hope you don't ask for one, because that loses them the supposed advantage of quickness. Because, you know, the idea is you go up smiling, waving your card, you wave it at the machine, and then you just walk off with the merchandise. But if you ask for a receipt, they have to give one legally, and that holds things up. The retailers don't want to do that. But if you want a receipt, ask for it. You're entitled to a receipt. That is something they legally have to provide you with.
Look, aren't you fighting a losing battle, really? Because the youngsters are not interested in cash, really. They just want to bip their way. They see it as very convenient and actually rather trendy and cool.
Well, to be honest with you, this is the story that's out there. But we find a lot of youngsters do want to use cash. They want to use it, one, because they budget, because a lot of youngsters don't have that much money. But also, a lot of youngsters have principles, and they're thinking, are our rights being taken away from us by the authorities? And we don't want to lose those rights. So obviously the pattern is that a lot of youngsters are using the likes of Apple Pay and card payments, but the reality is quite a lot of youngsters still don't want to be sucked into that, because they realise that that can suck them into debt, because it's too easy to wave your cards. I used to be a trustee of Citizens Advice locally here, and we had people coming into the Citizens Advice office, young people, saying, can we have contactless switched off, because it's letting us spend money we don't have, and we're spending it too easily, we're not thinking about it. Cash makes you think more. Once the 20 quid in your pocket has gone, it's gone, and you know it's gone. Waving a card about, it can cause a lot of pain at the end of the month when you have to pay the bill.
Yeah, but you take my point. It's almost like you're swimming against the tide here.
Well, when we surveyed, YouGov surveyed MPs for us before the election, and they found over 60% of Labour MPs agreed with us that a law was necessary to protect cash access. So we think we were swimming against the tide a bit, but I think now we have got a real chance. We're not saying it will happen immediately. Our target is to get some legislation passed by the end of 2025, and we think that's still achievable. It's not going to be easy, but we think there is a tide of public opinion, and we also think there's now considerable support in Westminster for this change to be made. As I said, Tony, we are outliers at the moment in this country. Most other countries around us have such protection already. Why does the British public deserve less?
Can you just let our listeners know where to find you and how they can support the campaign?
If your listeners go to the Payment Choice Alliance website, they'll find, for example, a take action button, and that identifies things that you can do immediately to support the cause, like writing to your MP, copied to me, directly to me, because I then go to the MPs and point out, look, your constituents are worried about this. We hope you're worried about it too. So that would be absolutely great. But if you go to our website, you automatically can register become a supporter. And we've got a lot of supporters around the country. We've had lots of letters going to lots of MPs in the last week or two since the new government came into power. So we are very, very hopeful that we can convert all of that support and interest into the legislation that's required.
Look, I said finally before, but I've thought of something else, Ron, sorry.
That's all right.
Which is the whole civil liberties aspect. Effectively, every single purchase, every single transaction is trackable.
Absolutely. And privacy is a huge issue. People are rightly worried about the fact that, as you say, everything they do is known if you use cards. And there are lots of examples. We haven't quite reached that state yet in the UK, but there are lots of examples around the world of governments using that information to track citizens and then find them and then do what the government wants to do to those citizens. One example was in Hong Kong, but around the world, there are an increasing number of examples of totalitarian governments using information that they get from electronic transactions. So it's something we really have to be aware of and guard against, and we can't allow that to happen here. We need cash to protect privacy.
The obvious one is China, where, for example, if you've got a low social credit score, you're simply not allowed to buy a long distance train ticket.
Absolutely. And China is a scary country in many ways, in that they've actually imprisoned a lot of people, not by walls, but imprisoning them behind a software set up where, as you say, they can't buy train tickets, they can't do anything, they can't move from the local area. They also don't allow them to have jobs often. But one thing in China, you know, the central bank in China just came out and fined a lot of businesses for not accepting cash, because up to 240 million Chinese people are not attached to the digital society. And the Chinese government is aware that those people being left out is not acceptable. So even in China, although they have some extreme things happening, which are not good, as you say, on that social scoring basis, they are taking action to make sure cash is accepted, even in China.
Ron Del Nabo, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tony.